Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Welcome to Real Paranormal Activity, the network. Entertainment you'll enjoy.
You are listening to an RPA production, where people gather. LaFoss Corporation, LLC.
The world is full of mysteries. It's full of strangeness. And it exists with oddities. That's what we do on this show. We examine the strangeness, the mysterious, the oddities. This is Terry's Mysterious Moments, and I am your presenter, Terry from Texas. This is Season 8. Welcome if it's your first time. Welcome back if you've been here before. Go with us on this trip while we look at cryptids like Bigfoot, the Yeti, the Loch Ness Monster, and maybe even Thunderbirds. Be with us while we examine stories of legends such as werewolves, vampires, witches, ghosts, and hauntings. Thank you for being here. Enjoy the show. Voodoo, a word that conjures up, and pardon the pun, images of dark nights, large fires, people dancing around those fires to rhythmic and hypnotic music, chanting, and moans as people writhe in paroxysms of joy. Or is it fear? There appears a priest or priestess to lead the night's observances. Perhaps there will be an appearance of Baron Samedi. The word voodoo also brings up images of poor, lost souls called zombies and small human effigies called voodoo dolls used to curse persons who've offended or hurt the practitioner or the practitioner's client in some real or imagined way. Pins are used to send pain to the person represented by the doll, which has something personal of the intended victim in its makeup. A bit of cloth, a lock of hair, fingernail clippings used by or from the body of the intended victim. Apparently, as I have read in the past, the one being cursed must, one, know that he or she is being cursed, and two, believe in the power of the curse. Voodoo also brings to mind images of practitioners, usually women, sitting in the back room of a sometimes very ornately, sometimes very bizarrely decorated set of rooms, either storefronts or apartments usually. Perhaps there's a small bubbling cauldron nearby with strange smelling concoctions in them. Of course, much of the imagery, the midnight rituals, the voodoo dolls, zombies, and the backroom conjurer, are things presented by Hollywood as voodoo. But just what is voodoo and where did it come from? Well, in this episode, I will try to give you an abridged primer on voodoo. Now, voodoo may refer to a group of religions such as, but not limited to, West African Vodun, which is a religion practiced by Gbe-speaking ethnic groups, and that's GBE, that's the name. African diaspora religions, which means that the people were spread out across the world and may have come up with their own religions. It's a list of related religions, sometimes called Vodou, V-O-D-O-U, or just plain Voodoo, V-O-O-D-O-O. Candomblé JJ, I hope I'm saying that right, also known as Brazilian Vodun, one of the major branches or nations of Candomblé. Tambor de Mina, which is a syncretic religion that developed in northern Brazil. And the definition of syncretic is religious syncretism is generally understood to be and defined as the process of exchange and interaction that occurs when two or more distinct belief systems are fused to create a new religion. The term may also be used to refer to an established religion that has adopted beliefs from other faiths. And that's pretty much all of them, seems like. Have adopted things from other belief systems. There's Dominican Voodoo, V-U-D-U, which is a syncretic religion that developed in the Spanish Empire. Haitian Vodou, a syncretic religion practiced chiefly in Haiti. Hoodoo, which is spirituality, sometimes called Gullah Voodoo, or low country voodoo, like on the east coast of the United States. There's Louisiana voodoo, or New Orleans voodoo, which is a set of African-based spiritual folkways. Trinidadian Vodunu, a syncretic religion practiced in Trinidad and Tobago, and voodoo in popular culture, which is fictional characterizations of various forms of voodoo. And voodoo is a noun, spelled V-O-O-D-O-O, and its plural is voodoos. It is a religion that is derived from African polytheism and ancestor worship, and is practiced chiefly in Haiti. It is an adjective of relating to or practicing voodoo rituals, or based on highly improbable suppositions, such as extremely implausible or unrealistic, as in voodoo economics. It is a verb. You can be voodooed. You can do the voodooing. Or you can have voodoos, as in to bewitch by, or as if by means of voodoo. Or to hex someone or something. Also known as vaudou, V-A-U-D-O-U, Vodun, V-O-D-U-N, Voodoo, which is the plain spelling, Voodoo, V-O-U-D-O-U, or Vodun. The Guardian says in a recent article that Voodoo is elusive and endangered, but it remains the soul of the Haitian people. Voodoo, a traditional Afro-Haitian religion, represents a syncretism of the West African Vodun religion and Roman Catholicism by the descendants of the Dahomian, the Congo, the Yoruba, and other ethnic groups who have been enslaved and transported to colonial Saint-Dominique, as Haiti was known then, and partly Christianized by Roman Catholic missionaries in the 16th and 17th centuries. The word Vodou means spirit or deity in the Fon language, F-O-N language, of the African kingdom of Dahomey, now Benin. Vodou is a worldview encompassing philosophy, medicine, justice, and religion. Its fundamental principle is that everything is spirit. Humans are spirits who inhabit the visible world. The unseen world is populated by Iwa spirits, Miste, mysteries, Anvizib, the invisibles, Zanj, angels, and the spirits of ancestors and the really recently deceased. All these spirits are believed to live in a mythic land called Guinan, G-I-N-E-N, which is a cosmic Africa. The God of the Christian Bible is understood to be the creator of both the universe and the spirits. The spirits were made by God to help him govern humanity and the natural world. The primary goal and activity of Vodou is to sevi Iwa, or serve the spirits, to offer prayers and perform various devotional rites directed at God and particular spirits in return for health, protection, and favor. Spirit possession plays an important role in Afro-Haitian religion, as it does in many other world religions. During religious rites, believers sometimes enter a trance-like state in which the devotee may eat and drink, perform stylized dances, give supernaturally inspired advice to people, or perform medical cures or special physical feats. Now, these acts exhibit the incarnate presence of the Iwa within the entranced devotee. Vodou ritual activity, e.g. prayer, song, dance, and gesture, is aimed at refining and restoring balance and energy in relationships between people and between people and the spirits of the unseen world. Vodou is also an oral tradition practiced by extended families that inherit familial spirits along with the necessary devotional practices from their elders. In the cities, local hierarchies of priestesses or priests, Mambo and Ongen, children of the spirits, Unsi, and ritual drummers, Untogi, comprise more formal societies or congregations, Societe. In these congregations, knowledge is passed on through a ritual of initiation, Kanzo, in which the body becomes the site of spiritual transformation. There is some regional difference in ritual practices across Haiti, and branches of the religion include Rada, Daomi, Ibo, Nago, Derial, Manding, Petwo, and Congo. There is no centralized hierarchy, no single leader, and no official spokesperson, but various groups sometimes attempt to create such official structures.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
There are also secret societies called Bizongo or Sanpuel that perform a religio-judicial function. A calendar of ritual feasts, syncretized with the Roman Catholic calendar, provides the yearly rhythm of religious practice. Important Iwa are celebrated on saints' days, for example, Ogu on St. James Day, July 25th, Azile Danto on the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, July 16th, Danbala on St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, and the spirits of the ancestors on All Saints' Day and All Souls' Day, November 1st and November 2nd. Many other familial feasts for the sacred children, for the poor, for particular ancestors, as well as initiations and funerary rituals, occur throughout the year. Vilokan is the mythical abode of the Vodou spirits, or Iwas. Vodou, as an African-derived religion, was taken to Haiti during the colonization period, 1492 to 1804, and has maintained many West African religious traditions. Among them are those of Benin, formerly Dahomey, and Vodouists believe that Vilokan is in Africa, and they conceive of it as a city in the mythic land of Guinan on an island below the sea. Now, sounds like to me, on the face of it, like Atlantis. Vilokan features prominently in Vodou's worldview. Synonymous with New Orleans, Vodou first came to Louisiana with enslaved West Africans, who merged their religious rituals and practices with those of the local Catholic population. New Orleans Vodou is also known as Vodou Catholicism. It is a religion connected to nature, spirits, and ancestors. Vodou was bolstered when followers fleeing Haiti after the 1791 slave revolt moved to New Orleans and grew as many free people of color made its practice an important part of their culture. Vodou queens and kings were spiritual and political figures of power in 1800s New Orleans. The core belief of New Orleans Vodou is that one God does not interfere in daily lives, but that the spirits do. Connection with these spirits can be obtained through various rituals such as dance, music, chanting, and snakes. Today, Grigri dolls, potions, and talismans are still found in stores and homes throughout the city, a reminder of the New Orleans fascination with spirits, magic, and mystery. Vodou practices include readings, spiritual baths, prayer, and personal ceremony. It is used to cure anxiety, addictions, and feelings of depression or loneliness, as well as to help the poor, hungry, and the sick. Located in Armstrong Park is the Treme neighborhood. Congo Square served as a gathering place for enslaved Africans. It was a place reserved for African traditions and expression of culture, including Vodou. Hundreds of people would gather to form drum circles and spiritual ceremonies. The area remains open today and continues to host cultural meetings. Some famous practitioners of Vodou in New Orleans include the ever-popular Marie Laveau, the Witch Queen of New Orleans. Yes, the most famous Vodou queen was Marie Laveau, who lived from 1794 to 1881. She was a legendary practitioner, and when she passed away, she was buried in St. Louis Cemetery No. 1. She was a devout Catholic and attended Mass at St. Louis Cathedral. She encouraged others to do as well. She lived in the French Quarter on St. Anne Street, where many people stopped to ask for her help at all hours of the day and night. She was a free woman of color who adopted children, fed the hungry, and nursed the sick during the yellow fever epidemic. She was known to help enslaved servants. It is said that politicians, lawyers, and businessmen consulted her before making any financial or business-related decisions. Her home was adorned with candles, images of saints, altars, and items to protect the house from spirits. You can find nickels, paper flowers, and various offerings on her tomb today. Another one was Dr. John, who is not the musician. Perhaps one of the most famous Vodou kings of New Orleans was Dr. John, also known as Bayou John. He was born in Senegal, where he was kidnapped as a slave and brought to Cuba. He eventually moved to New Orleans as a cotton roller. Sounds like an interesting job. Where he became part of the local Vodou community. He bought property on Bayou Road and became known as an excellent healer in voodoo and a fortune teller. He was the teacher of Marie Laveau. St. John's Eve is celebrated on June 23rd around the world for the summer solstice. The holiday has a special celebration in New Orleans each year. The celebration began in the 1830s by Marie Laveau on Bayou St. John. A head-washing ritual was combined with a public party, a celebration that International House Hotel has since adopted. Today, voodoo remains in practice to serve others and influence life events in connection with ancestors and spirits. Rituals are usually held privately, but there are various places that will give you a reading or assist in a ritual. The Voodoo Spiritual Temple is New Orleans' only formally established voodoo temple, located across the street from Congo Square. A closer look at Marie Laveau's life gives us this information. She was born Marie Catherine Laveau on September 10th in New Orleans. She died June 15th of 1881 in New Orleans, and like I said, was buried at St. Louis Cemetery No. 1. Her occupation is listed as an occultist, a voodoo priestess, a midwife, a nurse, and herbalist. She had reportedly two spouses, one named Jacques Paris and the other one Christophe Glapion. Her parents were a man named Charles Laveau, but they can't figure out if that's Charles Laveau, who was a white man of some substance in New Orleans, or a black free man in New Orleans named Charles Laveau. And her mother was Marguerite Henry Darkintel. Her daughter, Marie Laveau II, also practiced root work, conjure, Native American and African spiritualism, as well as Louisiana voodoo and traditional Roman Catholicism. There is an alternate spelling of her name, which adds an X at the end, L-A-V-E-A-U-X, which is considered by historians to be from the original French spelling of the name. On August 4th of 1819, she married a man named Jacques Paris, also known as Jacques Santiago in Spanish records, who was a quadroon man, free man of color, who had fled as a refugee from the Haitian Revolution in the former French colony Saint-Dominique, which is now Haiti. Their marriage certificate is preserved in the St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans. The wedding mass was performed by Father Antonio de Sedella, or Sedea. The Capuchin priest was known as Père Antoine. Jacques was part of a large white and Creoles of color immigration of refugees to New Orleans in 1809, after, again, the Haitian Revolution. Marie and Jacques had two daughters, Félicité in 1817 and Angèle in 1820, but both disappear from the records in the 1820s. Perhaps they passed away. Jacques Santiago Paris worked as a carpenter, and the death of Jacques Paris was recorded in 1820. Following the reported death of Jacques, she entered a domestic partnership with Christophe Dominique Dumenet de Glapion, who was a nobleman of French descent, with whom she lived until his death in 1855. They were reported to have had 15 children. Now, it's unclear as to whether that includes just children or children and grandchildren or possibly even adopted kids. They had 7 children between them, according to birth and baptismal records. Marie Laveau is confirmed to have owned at least 7 slaves during her lifetime. During her life, Marie Laveau was known to have attended to prisoners who were sentenced to death. Some rumors circulated that some prisoners would receive poisons or other substances before going to the gallows, but this was never proven. A reporter from the New Orleans Republican detailed one such visit in an article published on May 14, 1871, in which he describes Marie Laveau as a devout and acceptable member of the Catholic communion. Following her death, her daughter, Philomene, confirmed during an interview with a reporter from the Picayune that only Catholic traditions would take place during these visits, that her mother would also prepare the men's last meals and pray with them. Marie also sought pardons and commutations of sentences for those she favored and was very often successful in her efforts. She was known to care for the sick in her community by providing herbal remedies and prayers for the afflicted. Her other community activities included visiting prisoners, providing lessons to the women of the community, and doing rituals for those in need without charge. Among being a dedicated practitioner of voodoo, Marie Laveau was also known as a prominent female religious leader and community activist. Marie started a beauty parlor where she was a hairdresser for the wealthier families of New Orleans. And in having this parlor, she was able to obtain information, private information, if you will, about the families, business dealings, and private things, in order to possibly use them in supposed clairvoyant ways to, if you will, accept the word con people into believing she had more power than she did. As her role as a voodoo practitioner, customers often appealed to Laveau for help with family disputes, health and finances, and more. She performed her services in three main places: her own home on St. Ann Street, within Go Square, and at Lake Pontchartrain. She was the third female leader of voodoo in New Orleans. The first was Sanite Dede, who ruled for a few years before being usurped by Marie Salope. Marie maintained her authority throughout her leadership, although there was an attempt to challenge her in 1850. Due to her strong influence, New Orleans voodoo lost a large number of followers after her death. Her daughter, Marie II, displayed more theatrical rubrics by holding public events, including inviting attendees to St. John's Eve rituals on Bayou St. John. Of Laveau's magical career, there is little that can be substantiated, including whether or not she had a snake she named Zombie after an African god, whether the occult part of her magic mixed Roman Catholic saints with African spirits and Native American spiritualism. I have an interesting personal story regarding Marie Laveau. I was in the hospital back in late 2022, and I struck up a conversation with one of my nurses. I said that I did this podcast, and she told me that her great-grandmother was Marie Laveau. We talked out the timeline and figured out that this would have been Marie III. Needless to say, I treated that nurse very nicely. Well, that's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed it and found something educational in the information. Real Paranormal Activity, the podcast network, is expanding again. It has recently added some new shows to the lineup. The three originals are still here: Listener Stories with our host, Aaron Hunter; Aaron's Horror Show with Aaron Frail; Terry's Mysterious Moments with me, Terry from Texas; then Entertaining Short Films presents a couple of video stories each week, and a couple of new shows, Soul Stories with Tiffany Warren and Strange Reality with Dave Emmons, have come on board. I challenge you to partake of these shows. I'll bet you'll get a kick out of them. I take my leave of you for now and invite you to come back for our next episode of Terry's Mysterious Moments. Have a great week, and y'all be safe out there, and laissez les bon temps rouler.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid. High amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.